Amen. Wonderful. The Lord is wonderful. All right, let's go to John chapter 9. We're going to move to John chapter 9. Can you believe that? Been looking forward to this, though. I'm telling you. It's just like a honeycomb that's so full, if you touch it, it just runs out. We're not going to get very far this morning in John chapter 9. I hope you don't mind. I hope you're not in a hurry to get through this part of the Word of God. Where are we going anyway? Why not take our time and squeeze everything out of it that the Lord will give us on the way? Let's just read here, verse 1. That's all we're going to read. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. That's all we need to read this morning, really, to talk about what we're going to talk about. I'm going to try to hurry here this morning. I'm not going to push it, but I think we'll be a little more brief this morning. But let's just take a few minutes here and think about what just happened here as we read these words. Now, Father, thank you for the songs we've sang. All of them been a blessing this morning, a special too. And thank you for allowing us to be here. I pray your word would have free course now. I pray that your spirit would anoint the word of God. And Lord, that it would have unction here as we speak for the next few minutes. And that it would be able to say a few things that would stick with us and help us in this life, in this journey. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, and as Jesus passed by, well, he passed by. Those are also the last words of the previous chapter, in case you forgot. They picked up stones to stone him, and he passed by and left them. The word means that he passed by and went away from the Jews who were trying to kill him. So he passed by. He passed by. It's a little different way than we would put it. You know, we wouldn't say passed away because that means something else to us. In English, that says something else. He passed by. He passed by them, but on the way, as he was passing by. Jesus doesn't just pass by. He's always seeing. He's always watching. He's always looking for something. We're always passing by also. Did y'all know that? We're also passing by. Life is, that's what it is. It's a series of situations and people and places and events that we're passing through. And we're always moving and changing, life is. Have y'all noticed that? You don't have to be very old to figure that out. Life is always changing. It's never the same. You know, there's not any of us in here that, you know, 50 years ago, the people I were around, the kind of people, the places I went, the environment I was in, it's totally different than it is now. Totally changed from what it was. It's changed a few times through the years, through my life. Life's that way. It's a change. You're always passing from one place to another, passing by. So that, since that's a part of life, we just well to get used to that idea and not resist, not fight it. Just realize that life is a series of things. It'll help you when you lose loved ones. If you're looking at life properly, in truth, the way it is, it'll help you. It'll help you when people leave out of your life and they're not there anymore. It'll help you to realize that life is like that. It's to be expected. Now, this didn't have to be. Jesus was trying to help these Jews. They wouldn't have it. And he passed by. He passed them by. There's a song in our hymn book that we sing about, "Pass me not, Oh, gentle Savior, don't pass me by. Well, don't resist him. Don't fight him. Don't hold out. Don't harden your heart. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. What are we seeing and thinking as we pass by through life? As Jesus passed by, those that had stones in their hands to kill him, he saw a blind man. Get the picture here. We changed chapters, but the chapters and verses were put in there by men, not God. This is one context. And he passed by and went out. What does it say there in the last? Then they took up stones and cast at him, but Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. So get the picture. Here they are with the stones in their hands to kill him. And he sees a blind man. What would you be doing if a crowd had stones in their hands trying and your life was in peril? Would you be looking around? Would you care about a blind man sitting there? Would you care about anybody else but yourself and what a fix you were in and how great your need was at that moment? Well, this is a statement about the goodness of Jesus and shows us so much what he was like. And that's why we're preaching through the life of Christ. So we know Jesus better. So we really know him from the scriptures, what he was like, the way he manifested himself, his character, his love, the way he conducted himself, the way he thought. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think about this mind right here, in this event right here, in this passing by right here. His life's in peril, but he's not concerned about that. He's not concerned about his life. When he tells us that he that loseth his life for my sake shall save it, he that saveth his life shall lose it, he didn't just preach it, he lived it. He did what he preached. He didn't do like the Pharisees who say one thing and do another. He practiced what he preached. He didn't say it with his mouth only. He lived it with his life and with the way he thought and with the way he looked at people. When you find out what people see, what they're looking for, I'm talking about, then you can know what kind of person they really are. Mm-hmm. Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? Most people look for worms in everything and everyone. Yeah. That's all they look for. Yep. But here is a Savior that looks for God and his glory in everyone and everything. Mm-hmm. He don't just see a blind man born blind. He doesn't. That and you know, he sees an opportunity for God to be glorified. And as we go on down through, you'll see that. The disciples said, who did sin, this man or his father? What a different view. What a different thing they're looking for than what he's looking for. What a different thing they see than what he sees. Think about looking through the Savior's eyes. And as Jesus passed by, he saw. He wasn't looking at the Jews that with their stones in their hands. We would have been, wouldn't we? Yeah. As he in the no matter what his need is, look what he sees. He sees somebody else in need. Somebody who can absolutely do him no good whatsoever. He's not in this for whatever he can gain out of it or get from it, from this poor blind man who was born blind and is over 40 years old. Not much profit in it for him, is there? Especially when they're trying to kill him. Right behind him is these guys with their stones ready to kill him. We'd have been in a hurry to get out of there, wouldn't we? Almost all people are so taken up with their own problems that they're not watching or noticing the problems and troubles of others. And that's such a habit with us that when we do see somebody in need, we're not prepared.
Yeah.
We're not prepared for it because we don't think in that realm. If it happens upon us and everything's just right, then we'll do something. We'll help. We'll say a word. We'll give a dollar. But we're not looking to. That's not what our life's about. Our life mostly is about us and what we need and what we want and what we gotta have. And the situation, like you talked about in Sunday school, about being comfortable. Our comfort is supreme in our pursuits. Not the welfare of other people. Not the troubles of other people. We got enough troubles of our own. You ever hear anybody say that? You know, even, and it's the mindset of the world, y'all. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. What is put America first? Yeah. What kind of philosophy is that, really, when you think about it? Oh, it's good if you're worldly and carnal and selfish and self-centered. And if you're not like Jesus, that sounds awful good to you. Sound like some kind of philosophy or bandwagon, you'll jump right on. But if you know Jesus Christ and how He really is, that just won't fit very well in your view of things. His life is in peril. And but fear is not a factor in his thoughts at all and never was, never will be. Have you ever thought about that? Did Jesus ever manifest or say any kind of words that would indicate that he had any fear at all? No. Of anything, of anyone, of anything coming?
No.
He didn't act in fear.
Nope.
All right. I'm going to park here for just a little bit. His tomorrow or next week and its needs are not even a consideration for him. He doesn't live in that realm of thought. You listening to me? Now, men in such a situation are likely to see only what concerns themselves and their own safety. And that is because they're fearful. Yeah. What other reason? There is no other reason. They're fearful. It's out of fear that they're moved to think of themselves and ignore the needs of other people. You see how fear cripples you? You see how fear limits you? You see how fear controls you and guides your life? Fear. Jesus, even though there's these guys within stones throwing distance of him with stones in their hands to kill him, he's stopping to take care of this blind man.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and throw your stone. I mean, that is not a concern of his. What is courage? Well, it's the absence of fear. Really? And people say, well, you can be fear. I've heard all the philosophies about it all. But there's carnal fear and there is a fear that affects the spiritual. When you drag your carnal fear into where it's controlling the spiritual, then you're in a different territory altogether. You know, critical thinkers might say, well, you're just talking about fear. And I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. But you know, stand out in the road and stand there till that truck runs over you and say you're not afraid and see what happens, you know. Or I guess you wouldn't be afraid if somebody had a gun to your head. No, you're talking about carnal fear. What we're talking about here is spiritual fear, unreasonable, unfounded fear. And that does away with all carnal fear, if you can stay with me here. He's not worried about tomorrow or next week or his needs. They're not even a consideration here. Men and, you know, the disciples here, they were different. They were full of fear. like they always were. They feared the storm. They feared when they saw Jesus walking on the water. They were afraid. The Bible says so each of these times I'm referring to, and many, many more. They were afraid when he commanded the wind and the sea to be calm and still. Then they were afraid. They feared. Because they said, what manner of man is this? And they were afraid. Afraid of everything. Afraid when he rebuked the wind. The women were afraid at the tomb of Jesus. They were afraid. The angel said, fear not. Fear not. Be not afraid. How many times does the Bible say that? Fear is the motivation behind most of what people do. Is it you? Think about yourself. Is it the motivation behind what you do? Is it what makes that decision for you? Here's a blind man. You can help him or you can walk on by. What do most of us do most of the time? We reason it out and excuse ourselves why it'd be best not to. And especially in the world, as dangerous as it is now, we just pass by. But we're not seeing what Jesus would see if he was passing by. Speaks real bad of us. We're not near as much like Jesus as we'd like to think ourselves to be.
That's right.
We really aren't, I'm telling you. All you got to do is just get into the Gospels here and start reading and looking real close at how he thought, what he saw, what he was looking for. And then go look in the mirror and tell yourself again how much you're like him. Fear is the motivation behind what most people do. Herod feared. The Pharisees feared. The Jews feared. Everybody's afraid. Any of these things that you see in the New Testament here, anywhere in the Bible, anytime, anything you want to talk about, the decisions that were made, every decision made by all who were involved in the crucifixion of Christ was made out of fear. I mean, read it. It's in there. That word's there accompanying every one of those situations. They feared. They feared the multitude. They feared this. They feared that. And that was the motivation behind their determination to kill the Lord. Fear's man's first response to the unknown, to any proposal of change, or to any new thing, or any perceived threat. That's man's first response, fear. His first natural response. His first carnal response. Jesus had none of that. Do you understand that? These guys went around for a few years back here. The thing was, they wrote, had a t-shirt that said, no fear. What a lie. Because you either have faith in God or you have fear.
That's right.
That's right. If you have no fear, it's only because you have faith in God. Otherwise, you're afraid of your shadow. Don't tell me you're not afraid. Act brave. No. That's a lie. Fearfulness is lack of faith. Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You see how Jesus defined it in a real short little sentence there. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He said that to his disciples. His disciples, the ones he picked out and chose and called. The ones who followed him. The ones who left all and followed him. He said, how is it you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? How could they be afraid that the boat's going to sink with him in it? No matter how bad the storm is raging. That is no faith. They just don't believe he is who he says he is. And they don't believe he really is who they say he is. They're just pretending. They're just playing the game. They're just on board for the ride. I guess they think he could drown too. God's going to drown with us. God can't help me. God can't save me. Yeah. That's fearfulness. And that is no faith. The last mention of the word in the Bible. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the... What's the first one in the list that's not going? But the fearful... And the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What a terrible, what an awful verse of scripture there. Dark, condemning, doom. And the first one in the list is fearful. Have you ever thought about that very much? With the abominable, the adulterers, whoremongers, all of these other things, these sorcerers and idolaters. But the first thing that he mentioned was the fearful. People whose lives are guided by fear. Who make their decisions by fear. Fear is always the deciding factor in what they say and do. And the choices they make, the decisions they make with God and man. You see, most people won't trust God because of fear. Fear! Fear of rejection of other men. Fear of they'll get started and can't finish. Fear! You don't ever get started until you lay down your fear and trust God. Through and through, start to finish. Do or die, I'm going to trust God. You won't fear. When you really trust God, you will not fear. Jesus did not fear. That's why he could be this way. He wasn't afraid of the rocks. He wasn't afraid of getting captured. He wasn't afraid of being put in prison. He didn't consider what could happen to me? I got to protect myself first. What good can I do if I don't protect myself? If I don't keep myself alive and free, what am I going to do for God? No, he didn't think that way. The immediate need is what matters. It's what mattered to him. He could have said, I'll find this guy tomorrow. Get his name, number, we'll call him tomorrow. We'll send somebody back for him. We're in a hurry. We got to get out of here. No, he didn't have any fear. He didn't operate according to fear. We can't operate according to fear and be right with God. We can't get nowhere operating with fear involved in our calculations of everything, in our estimation of everything, in our view of everything. Imagine a life without fear. What would it be like? Imagine making decisions based on faith instead of fear. Think about that. What would that be like? Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, I'm not going to read it all, but he said, I'm going to summarize it this way. He said, take no thought for our life. Get this. These are the points he made. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your raiment. Take no thought for your food. And take no thought for tomorrow. Those are the things he said in those verses. Four times. Take no thought. Take not thought for your life. That's what Jesus did right there. That we just read about in John chapter 1. He did not take thought for his life. He didn't consider himself, his danger, his needs at that moment. There was somebody else. Just an old poor blind man. What was he worth? Was he worth more than Jesus? Jesus estimated it so.
Yes, sir.
He laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren, he said. And I don't think that means just the brethren.
No.
I mean, we ain't giving our life for them unless they're really, truly saved and we know it. No, that ain't, We ought to be like him.
Yep, that's right.
And that's what he's like. He says we should rather than taking thought for our life, for our raiment, for our food, for tomorrow. That includes everything. You know, what about tomorrow? I mean, he said sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Don't be thinking about tomorrow. Worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. That's living in fear.
Yes.
Why is worrying and fretting so wrong? Because it's based on fear.
Yes, it is.
Fear of the unknown and what might happen and borrowing trouble from tomorrow. And Jesus said specifically not to do that. Not to think that way. See, he's telling us how to think. He's not just telling us what to do. He's telling us how to think. Take no thought for your life, for your food, for your raiment, for tomorrow. Don't be thinking about that stuff. What are you supposed to do? Seek ye first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. He just went through the discourse about the lilies of the field and how God adorns them. And Solomon in his glory was not adorned as one of these. And how much more are you? Consider the birds and how God feeds them. And you're worth many sparrows.
Yes, yes.
You think your Father won't take care of you? He's saying, believe, have faith in God. Live without fear. What would it be like to live without fear? That's what it'd be like. Not thinking about that stuff. Do you live that way? Do you live that way? Seth mentioned in Sunday school about, you know, preparing for the future and all of that. Well, he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard. That's true. But the whole idea there is sluggard. I mean, you're going to be lazy and not care for anything. I mean, anybody knows that you know, you get what you can in the summer so you have food in the winter. But that's not done out of fear. That's done out of prudence and wisdom. Now, all the things that are going on now, all the prepping and everything, is fear.
Oh, yeah.
The world is moving on fear.
Oh, yeah.
The weather, the news, everything is fear, fear, fear.
Yep.
The world's afraid today.
Yep.
Boy, they got pretty good reason to be, really, because they've made such a mess. I don't know what they're going to do except blow each other up. But what do God's children, how should we be? What should be in our thoughts right now? Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Right? Lift up your heads and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. It's the blessed hope. It's not the great fear and the dread and the, oh no, it's Armageddon. It's the end of the world. Not for the children of God. It's the blessed hope. That this mess will be over and God's kingdom will reign forever. Fear of what will happen. What's the worst thing that could happen to you? Considering from the earthly view, die. Well, Paul said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. He said it'd be far better for me if I could just go on and be with the Lord. He was earnestly desiring to be clothed upon. Not fearing and dreading and, oh Lord help me. I want to live as long as I can. Please don't stop me from living. No, he was longing to go on. Fear is not a part of real faith in Christ. Just get that this morning. You can't walk as he walked. You can't see as he seen. You can't have the mind of Christ if fear is a part of it. What would it be like to be free from fear completely? Well, there's only one thing and only one way. There's only one thing to fear, and that is God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Okay, Jesus said, don't fear them that have the bombs and the guns and the guillotines and the poison and everything. Don't fear them. They might kill your body, but that's all they can do. But fear him. Rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear God and keep his commandments. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Yes.
If you fear God, and that don't mean like fearing the killers. It doesn't mean carnal fear. No. Self-preservation fear of God. Fear of God is reverence.
Yes.
And awareness that he is the Almighty God.
Amen.
That he is the final word. He has the final say. He has life and death, my life and death, in his hands.
Amen.
And he is the only one who is in control of all that. And the only one who will decide it. Fear him. Realize that. Believe that. Live according to that. If you live your life in the fear of God, you'll live trusting God. It does away with the fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The Bible said in Proverbs 29:25, "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Fear the Lord and you'll be safe. We don't stay awake at night and tremble. We're not scared of God because he's going to smack us any time and kill us. We're not afraid of God that way. Fear God and keep his commandments. He's the only one that really can do much to you.
Sure.
Somebody else can kill you, kill the body. God can, he can kill both body and soul,
yes,
in hell. So you better fear him. He's the one that's going to judge you. Every man's going to give account of himself before God. We're going to give account of the deeds done in this body. To who? To a council? No, to God. Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. You'll be all right if you do that. And it's the same as seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's the same thing. Seek God's righteousness. How many times have I told you? What is, you know, this thing about our righteousness and his righteousness and being clothed with his righteousness. What is God's righteousness? It is what God says is right.
Yes.
Your righteousness, our righteousness is what we say is right. You don't want that. You don't want to face God in your own righteousness. You want to face God having sought his righteousness and done it. It's the whole duty of man. Fear blinds us to the needs of others. Because, and puts the focus of our mind on ourselves. If Jesus would have been afraid here, he wouldn't have saw that blind man. He wouldn't have cared about that blind man. His fear would have engulfed his mind and thoughts to where all he would have been about would have been self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Protect myself. Get out of here. Flee. You know, the fight or flee. What are they? You know. Yeah, there you go. The words fear not. I mean, he was not fleeing He just walked away. He passed by. Doesn't say he fled from them. Doesn't say he ran. Doesn't say anything. He just passed by.
Yeah.
Now the words "fear not" in some form are probably the most mentioned admonition in the whole Word of God. Have you ever thought about that? Search for anything that God said more than he said, "Fear not. Be not afraid. Why are you so fearful?" Think about that. Remember one of the first verses Seth learned when he was a little bitty boy learning the alphabet. He said, "What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee." That's a psalm. Psalmist said that thousands of years ago. You know, there were people that had learned this thing that I'm trying to preach about this morning. Now, the application's obvious. If we're going to be like Jesus, then our life must not operate in the realm of fear. Our eyes can't be controlled by fear. In other words, what we're looking for cannot be motivated by fear or any concern for ourselves. Y'all listening to me, you understand what I'm trying to say to you here? Our lives can't be controlled by fear and motivated. Our eyes can't be what we're looking for. We live in fear far too much. We're motivated, controlled, regulated by fear far too much. We'll yield to that. We'll submit to that. We'll let that decide for us to the expense of other people. People are perishing all around us. If there were, if there was a blind man in Jesus' day, there's thousands of them in our day. We walk by them every day. We pass by them. But what do we see? What do you see? What are you looking at? Where's your mind? Is your mind on all your problems? All your needs? All your plans? All your tomorrows? On your needs for tomorrow? And down the road? That's where our minds are at. Not looking. Just not looking. As Jesus passed by, he saw. He saw. He was looking. Don't y'all see, man? See it, see it, see it. Our decisions cannot be made under the influence of fear, but of faith. And faith that is founded in the Word of God. Faith that is founded in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith is not just blind believing. Faith is founded in the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's real. It's not a dream. It's not imagination. It's not a desire. Faith is something real. Faith kills fear. How can you fear when Jesus is near? Huh? How can you worry when you know that he's always with you? When he said, he promised he'd meet our every need, how can you fear? What would God say to you? How must it, when Jesus said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Why do you think he said that? Because when he comes, the earth's going to be full of fear. More than ever before. Men's hearts failing them for fear of the things coming to pass on the earth.
Yep.
Don't be among them here in these last days, last hours of time here. Don't be among those who are living in fear. Walk in faith. Our motives and desires can't be influenced by fear, but by faith in God. And the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Why did Jesus see that man? Because God is love. That's why. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God. That one young man that came to Jesus so close. Master, what must I do to enter into the kingdom? Jesus, beholding him, loved him, the Bible says. Why did Jesus see? Because he cared. Why did he care? Because he loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
Why? What was he about? What was his... He saw him because his mission, the reason for his being here, was to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
So he was seeking. That's why he was seeing.
Yeah.
If you're not seeking, you're not going to see.
That's right.
Amen.
That's true.
This is how and why that missionaries like John Patton and Adoniram Judson and Hudson Taylor and so many others went to such dangerous places to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Don't y'all see? They saw the blind man.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus saw that day. They saw others perishing and suffering for eternity, which is a far greater tragedy than anything that could possibly happen to them. And they knew that was the reason they were on the earth. Think about it. Do you ever? I'm sure you have. We read the book of John Patton, and I've read all about all of these people. And I've wondered at, my goodness, how could they do that? They had faith instead of fear. Did they know they might get killed? Well, absolutely. They knew that it was very likely. But they weren't afraid. There were people that needed help. There were blind people. Not just one blind man, but a bunch of them. Somebody has to do something. And they loved their lives. They loved not their lives unto death. Save your life, you lose it. Lose your life for his sake, you gain it. It's the whole underlying thing of the gospel. Jesus saw. He passed by and he saw. He never quit seeing. Everywhere he went, there was somebody everywhere. And he couldn't. Jesus saw this blind man being who he was, like he was. He couldn't just pass him by. You know, can we? If he couldn't, how can we do it so easily? I'll pray for him. That's our thing, you know. Well, I'll pray for him. It's like saying, be you warmed and filled. Good luck to you, buddy. Got other fish to fry here myself. I got troubles of my own. Got enough needs of my own. Have y'all ever known anybody that gave away the last dollar they had when they needed it worse than the person they gave it to? I am. You think that's wrong? No, that's more like Christ than about anything you'll ever see. Their faith was greater than their fear. How do we measure up when compared to them? These missionaries I just mentioned and many, many more. Or more importantly, to Jesus. I mean, isn't he the measure? That's the reason for the church and everything I mentioned so often, that we might come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He is the standard that we are to measure ourselves by. Not one another, not the greatest Christian who ever lived, not even these missionaries that I just mentioned. We don't measure ourselves to them. We measure ourselves up to Christ. And we're looking at him this morning, just exactly how he was. What was the most important thing to him? Others. That's what he came for. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. and it wasn't money and coins and buried treasure and shipwrecks. No, it was people, souls of men. And he recognized bodies as a soul, see? He didn't see men as trees walking. He saw souls. Think about the decisions you make or those you're pondering right now. Think about what you see when you pass by through the crowds of people in this world. Do you ever do that? You make it a point to do that. When you go places where there are people, when you deal with people, do you make it a point to look deeper than just, there goes another one, there goes another one. Don't look at them as just things. You see people. If you really want to be like Jesus, we'll lay down our life, we'll quit fear altogether, and look around us at the need and do something about it. Jesus was one man, but he didn't form an organization and solicit support and help and stress over the fact that he was the only one doing anything. Jesus was one man. You remember how you've read about he never traveled more than 200 miles from where he was born? I mean, he stayed in one little area. He never had anything of possessions. He never went to school. He never did. And yet he affected the human race more than any person ever has. And that is indisputable fact.
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
sir. And how'd he do it? One at a time. Every day he lived his life like this. He passed through. He passed by. And he saw as he passed by. He didn't pass through, pass by blindly and not seeing, and in his own world. He was continually looking, yes, seeking, yes, after that which was lost. He was one man. He simply did what he could where he was all the time. He never missed an opportunity and he never passed anyone by because he was watching for them, like expecting them. Think about it. What if we lived our life like that? How could the world be changed if those who claim his name were really like him?
Yes.
And it would bound to change the world.
Absolutely.
So, well, I can't do everything Jesus did. Well, Peter and John were at the gate of the temple, remember? The man there begging, asking alms. What did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. Got a lot more to give than you think. God, Jesus didn't send us away with empty, with nothing to give. We've got plenty to give.
That's true.
Amen. Why don't you all stand unless we'll have a word of prayer. I hope you'll think about these things. I hope it'll help you just reading about it yourself. When you read through the Gospels here, just notice Jesus. Notice how he speaks, how he acts. Notice, look deeper, look into his mind, into his heart. And then go and do likewise. If you're a Christian, if you say you belong to him, if he has saved you and you belong to him, then we're to be like him.
Yes, sir.
The whole goal of life after we're saved is to bring us in and conform us into the image of his Son. God's Son, Jesus. He's the express image of the Father. How can the world be so mixed up about him? They don't read the Bible. And the Bible doesn't carry the authority with them. They kind of make him make believe that he's whatever they want him to be. Things like this are what we need to see. It helps us as we go out of here today,
yes,
to realize what we need to be. He passed by and he saw. Don't ever forget that. I was a blind man. And Jesus passed by. I'm glad he was seeking for me. Glad he was watching the day that I cried out. The day he found me blind and poor. I'm glad he didn't walk on by.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Let's do likewise. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the truth here. Thank you for the message that speaks to heart and helps us to realize what we need to do. Lord, we're missing the mark here. Help us. Help us, Father, to draw nigh unto you. You said you'd draw nigh unto us, and that means more than just a feeling of safety and security and blessing. It means that the closer we get to you, the more we become like you. Lord, draw us nigh, I pray. That we'd walk out of here and be more like you in our, not just in out in the public, but in our own homes and here together. That we'd realize others need the needs of others and lay down our own life and not consider ourselves as important. Go with us now. Bless your word to heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.